Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you and good night. I love you.
Hey, MAGA gang, hey, so MAGA town.
I've done more for Black Americans than anybody, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln.
Donald Trump is your president, and if you like it or not, keep the energy you had with Barack.
I believe that she will win. I believe that she will win.
But no matter how loud they chanted, it wasn't to be.
Because you know this Trump train don't stop. Tell Beto to please come try to take my...
Tonight, I'm asking for the vote of every single African-American citizen.
You want to impeach him? I guess that's what you do when you can't beat him.
In this country, who wants to see a better future?
That need to dead that. And I'm coming through your hood in my red hat.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump,
okay.
And you ain't black, and you ain't black.
And they say they looking for me, I say where?
No group in America has been more harmed by Hillary Clinton's policies than African Americans.
To the D state that I said that, Candace always on my shirt. They gonna be triggered when I win.
What the hell do you have to lose?
And if you like it or not, keep the energy you had with Barack.
America must reject.
Cause you know this Trump train on
the bigotry of Hillary Clinton, who sees communities of color only as votes.
What difference at this point does it make?
Gotta take my block. You wanna impeach him? I guess that's what you do when you can't be him.
And we will make America great again. God bless you and good night. I love you.
That needs a dead ass. And I'm coming through your hood in my red hat.
Clinton has called Donald Trump to concede the race.
You go.
All right, I'm the most paradise mind, brilliant thinker and political philosopher. We are back. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
All right.
Can you hear
me? Yeah. Yeah. I see one call drop, but we're back. We're extending this show. I just can't wait for my critics to catch on to the Black Conservative Show. I just can't wait. Boy, I remember the time we used to have a battle. We used to have a battle, a fight with the radical left. That's going to happen sooner than later. Absolutely. But we're back here. The number to call in, if you're still listening, the number to call in is 516 515-8256. I'm about remembering that number now. I'm almost ready to remember that number now. Wow. So, Joe, we got Crazy Joe. I call him Crazy Joe. Crazy Joe said today that FEMA, I can't believe he said this. I can't believe Joe said this today. Huh? Joe said today that FEMA needs to help them reopen the school. What is Joe smoking? FEMA has already put down guidelines and principles to open the school. I mean, Joe Biden been hiding in their basement for so long. Man, this guy don't realize the world has moved on. He acts as if that we are still back in March, in February, of the beginning stage of the coronavirus. Where have Joe been? He's requesting FEMA to help them reopen the school safely. Come on, Joe, where have you been? They already have guidelines, operational schools. They already have guidelines on how to operate the schools during the COVID-19. The CDC has already given their consideration. I mean, here we have an individual who is running for president of these United States, and he's still not aware that FEMA has already given, well, not FEMA, but the CDC has already given their recommendation on how to safely reopen the schools. I mean, this is a sad. Something is seriously wrong with Joe. Let's bring back in our callers on the show. Here on the Black Conservative Show, we got some guests. Two or three guests. Brother K, you there? Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to even bring in Corey. I think that's Corey. I like his number. I think he's busy. But Joe Biden said that FEMA. Let me ask a question. Why do FEMA need to help us reopen the schools? What do FEMA got to do with reopening the schools?
Good question.
Absolutely nothing.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. FEMA need to help us reopen. What's FEMA supposed to do? Call up the National Guard? Set up mobility and call up? I mean, that just goes to show you how Democrats are so deceived and misinformed. They know that these guidelines are, there is almost, if they would have, all the things Joe had to do, if Joe was concerned about how to reopen the schools, all he had to do was do what I done. I watched the CDC director, the head of CDC director, Dr. Fauci, and the other medical, military general. They all met before the committee. They had a hearing under oath, and they gave the guidelines. They told exactly what they were doing to reopen the schools. You can go to the CDCwebsite.gov, and it will tell you consideration for schools. As communities in the United States consider how to safely reopen K-12 schools, buildings, and in-person, they gave an update of their consideration promoting behaviors that reduce COVID-19 spread, maintaining a healthy environment, maintaining healthy operations, preparing for when someone gets sick. This is at the CDC website. Schools should determine in collaboration with the state and health officials, Joe, to the extent possible when and how to implement each of these considerations when adjusting to meet the unique needs and circumstances of the local community. They already gave considerations on how to promote behavior that reduce COVID-19 spread. And he gonna ask the question. We need FEMA. You need FEMA to. You want FEMA to come and. FEMA to come and help you reopen the schools. Man, that's crazy. Let me show you something here. Guidelines. This is at the CDC website. Now, I'm not even running for president. I know this. Joe Biden should know it. But no, he may not know it because he has early stage of dementia. Every goal is to, this is the CDC website, the guiding principles to keep in mind. Every goal is to prioritize the reopening of schools as safely and as quickly as possible, given many known and establishment benefits of in-person learning. In order to enable this and to assist schools with their day-to-day operation, it is important. This is what the CDC said. It's important to adopt and diligently implement action to slow the spread inside the school, out in the community. And then it goes to say, children with COVID-19, in general, children with COVID-19 are less likely to have severe symptoms than adults or experience any asymptomatic infection or whatever the case. And go all the way down, and then it goes to this is the point that Joe was asking FEMA to do, deciding how to reopen. The CDC says, school officials should make decisions about reopening schools based on data, including levels of community transmission and their capacity to implement appropriate migration measures in schools to protect students, teachers, administrators, and other staff. Schools should also consider other aspects of students' risk, well-being that arise when schools do not reopen for in-person class. This includes the potential adverse impact on students' social, emotional behavior, mental health, as well as critical services provided to students to help migrate health disparities and severe children in need. Now, here's what you don't need to do, Joe. We're talking about how to reopen the school. Low risk, medium risk. Medium risk. Students and teachers should minimize sharing objects. Don't share objects. Larger in-person class activities and events, that's a risk. Some mixing of groups of students and teachers across the school board. I'm not going to go through all this. You all get the point. But Crazy Joe didn't read it. But now he asked the FEMA to help him reopen the school. So let me ask you all a question. What is FEMA supposed to do? Can somebody tell me, what is FEMA supposed to do? How is FEMA supposed to remotely help open the school, reopen the school? There ain't no trees that have fallen down, blocking the doors. I mean, what's FEMA supposed to do? I mean, it's interesting to know.
Unless they're filtering money through FEMA.
Oh, is that what he's talking about? Oh, okay.
Is there some leftover money or some money that was being laundered through FEMA? The only thing I can think of.
FEMA's supposed to give them more money.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, Brother K, you hit it on the head.
I guess that Black Lives Matter money must be drying up then.
Yeah, they got the billion. They haven't did anything with it. They haven't helped the poor, haven't given to the poor, haven't helped the black community, haven't done anything. They got $1 billion since they started, their founder.
And not counting the money that Soros had plugged in.
So the Democrats are now slipping. Democrats are now slipping in the polls. Their numbers are falling. Their numbers are falling, and they got problems. And I'm telling you, they got problems. And this mail-in ballot, this is just Democrat way. They're not concerned about people being able to vote. So think about it. If people wanted to vote, if people wanted to vote, someone needs to mute their phone. If they wanted, if liberals were concerned about people voting and the spread of COVID-19, how is it that on Saturday when it was at Washington at the Lincoln Memorial, did you all see all those people that was out there? On the Dr. King anniversary. Did y'all see the number of people out there? Massive of people. So you tell me these people can stand out there for 12 hours, 2 and 3 days, waiting to come out in the hot sun, but they can't stand in line 6 feet apart with a mask on the vote? If they were so threatened and scared of catching the COVID, if they were so terrorized and afraid of catching the coronavirus, why were all these people out there Saturday, shoulder to shoulder, rubbing noses, holding hands in darkness, singing Kumbaya, and we shall overcome? If the coronavirus posed such a big threat, but they claim, hypocritically claim that, oh, we can't go to the polls in November because the corona, there ain't no way we can go. It's too many. Oh. But you can stand out in the hot sun, listen to some radical speakers, some radical civil rights speakers, activists, indoctrinate you even more, but you couldn't get out there and vote. You claim you can't go vote two months from now. And you don't know how things are going to be 2 months from now. It can be a whole different world, a whole different setting. But they couldn't get up. They can't go to vote, but they can go and protest, burn down buildings, march, and interrogate white America, but they can't go vote. But they can all come out like they came out to audition for a Tarzan movie at the Lincoln Memorial. Hundreds of thousands of them, shoulder to shoulder, rubbing noses, holding hands in darkness, singing Kumbaya, but they claim 3 months from now, 2 months from now, they can't go to the voting poll. They're not going to be able to make it out to the poll to vote. Because, oh, the coronavirus, the spread of, You cannot make this up. You guys, mics are open. Uh-huh. You can't make this stuff up, man. All of those people that were out there Saturday over the weekend, waiting, some of them waiting 72 hours, 48 hours, standing out there for 6-7 hours, but they can't stand in line to vote for 1 hour.
Nope.
Because of the threat of COVID.
Well, they weren't even warned of it. If Trump brings up, I'm thinking about going this place or that place, next thing you know, they want to talk about, you know, this virus is really bad. But as long as you're out there rioting and tearing stuff up, nobody even talked about it. So COVID's important, you know, when it's something that's not on their agenda.
No, sometimes I think it's the black woman from MSNBC, she'll say, oh, that's for a good cause, so it's okay, because it's for a good cause.
This is the smartest virus I've ever seen in my life. It doesn't hit you in Walmart, but if you go to church or if you go to a something, you know, you go to the church, you go to something that the Republicans are putting on, this is the most dangerous virus. But somehow, Walmart, Target, nobody gets sick at Walmart or Target. You only get sick if Trump is in town or if you're in church.
I was out of here.
You didn't see Dr. Fauci nowhere around the riot area. Dr. Fauci didn't talk about it.
Oh, and Dr. Fauci didn't even address it at all. He didn't say,
no.
What about this, when he testified before the committee, what about you need to avoid large crowds? You didn't hear Dr. Fauci on that.
No.
Oh, wow.
I've got a picture of Obama. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say, I have a picture of Obama speaking at John Lewis's funeral. And there he is talking about how dangerous this is and what's going to happen with the people. Meanwhile, you look out in the crowd, they're sitting chest to chest, shoulder to shoulder.
It's different when they get together. So, like you said, the virus is so smart, it knows how to, you know what? Yeah, let's go out the back door. Let them handle this right quick, and then we'll come back in on the grid lead. It's a smart virus.
It's very smart. And I said, wow, this is better than a smartphone.
Yeah, that
knows what it's doing.
That virus believes in segregation and busing. Let me let y'all hear this clip here. This pastor, y'all probably have heard it, roasting Kamala Harris. Listen to this, guys.
Can I get a witness? Don't you let them. Because you see, these people have an agenda. And their agenda, one of the things, is to get rid of the church. To get rid of the church. To have abortion on demand. To the promotion of all things LGBTQ. You know, Kamala Harris, she's running for the vice presidency. I call her Miss Lockup a Brother. For when she was the AG in California, a Negro knew, a black man knew that he was dead in the water. He was dead in the water. Matter of fact, you don't need a trial. You might as well go into jail if you appear before her, because she took pride in locking up black folk. And now all of a sudden she's trying to be sister girl. I'm telling it. Check out her record. She locked us up left and right. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Yes, you did, Kamala, however I should pronounce it, you did. And now we're supposed to forget all that stuff. And she boasted in California that she was one of the first. I got the tape cued, but my time's up today. One of the first, I showed you Thursday night, to perform a same-sex marriage. Y'all want to see it? You want to see it? Let it rip.
Let the rings exchanged and the vows declared symbolize your commitment, sincerity, and affection.
Yeah.
And may your love never falter.
May your love never falter.
By virtue of the power and authority vested in me by the state of California, I now declare you spouses for life.
Cut. Now that is who supposed to deliver us. Now, are you crazy? I like what Maya Angelou says. She said, when the people show you who they are, believe them. That's Kamala. And let me tell you, anybody who's trying to turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah is not good for this nation. She's not good for the state. And she ain't good for black folk. We need husbands and wives. We need fathers. We need mothers. Men born male. Women born female. We need real people. Wow! Somebody shout.
There you have it.
We don't have too many old pals left. We don't have too many left to call it like it is.
I need to call and get him on the show. I need a PR person. Wow. I'm real, man. I'm real. It's real out here, man. It is real out here. We're winning this fight here. I just hope that the Trump administration and Republicans really zero in on this mail-in ballot. I smell a rat with that. I'm just still comfortable that they're going to try to pull off a scheme here with these 80 million ballots they sent out. Those 80 million mail ballots are still out there somewhere, you know, and they need to be aware of that. Someone even stated that they have showed that Trump won on election night, and then 2 weeks later, 6 days later, after all these mail-in ballots are counted, all of a sudden, Trump loses. That needs to really be emphasized because they're up to something. Democrats are up to no good. Don't think they want a fair election. Democrats do not want
a
fair deal with
election.
No, they can't win friends.
They
do not want it. No, they do not want it.
They still haven't, you know what, Black conservatives, they still haven't learned from that election. They still out of touch with the very same people that they didn't count as voters. They still out of touch with them.
Wow. Unreal.
It wasn't prime minister. Trump win a popular vote and win all the elections.
So with the vaccine, I heard the president saying, no, before that, I heard the president saying today that had a memo that he's going to defund some of these Democrat-run states who are not controlling their cities and that are not, you know, prioritizing the money that they're using. You know, I think that's a good move. That's a good chess move that the Trump administration made today when they said they're going to defund these cities. That would definitely get the – that would put Democrats – that would put them back up against the wall.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it the Seattle mayor either today or yesterday came out and said that he's leaving the city because it's too violent or something?
About to rise or something. I want to say it was Seattle, Maryland. So, yeah. So, Trump, here it is. I got it. I pulled it up here. I'm just pulling it up. Trump signs memo to defund lawless cities, but experts raise legality doubt. What do they always do? Man, all of a sudden, the experts always come around when you're doing something. All of a sudden, these legal scholars want to talk about that the president have little power to make good on the document. These scholars come around. So Trump signed a memo on Wednesday that threatened to cut funding to Democratic-led cities that the administration has characterized as lawless and anarchic jurisdiction. Using his office to launch an extraordinary, if legal, ineffective attack on his political opponents ahead of November election. I bet it is ineffective. I bet it is ineffective. They wish it was. Trump said, my administration would not allow federal tax dollars to fund cities that allow themselves to be deteriorated into lawlessness zones. The memorandum reads, it is imperative that the federal government review the use of funds by jurisdictions that permit anarchy, violence, and destruction in American cities. So the attorney, William Barr, has developed a list of jurisdictions that permit violence and the destruction of property to resist and have refused to undertake reasonable measures to counteract these criminal activities within the next fortnight.
That's going to be interesting.
President made it clear that he would not continue to funnel taxpayer money to lawless cities that failed to restore law and order in their county, community. We will explore all options. Wow, did you all hear that? That's a good move. That's indeed a good move. You know, if Democrats are going to play these political games, then the Trump administration need to play chess with them too. They need to play the game too. Let's see. So the New York governor, Cuomo, said the memo was an illegal stunt, noting that Trump is not a king. He cannot defund New York City. Democrats are cutting the running. Man, if I was President Trump, I would push this so hard. I would push this so hard. I would literally make them go to court over this.
Well,
you hear what I'm saying there?
They won't go to court. Do you know who I haven't heard from in a good while? This lets you know where how Trump stands and how strong Trump is. When's the last time we heard from ACLU? Remember that they? No, their attorneys, when Trump got in, at every corner, every place you can think of, they were pushing paperwork here and there, ready for lawsuits. Mum has been the word. You know what's happening when they are quiet and silent and muted. You haven't heard from them. With everything going on from Black Lives Matter to rioting to this to when you're asking for equal, when a group of people, especially our people, are marching, protesting, demanding this, there is, I'm talking hundreds of them, UCLU people, all ACLU people all over the place. I haven't seen, hide, or hear from one of them.
Wow. Good observation.
And so,
I'm not hearing from him.
And this is why Trump, he doesn't have to rush. He can just take his time.
Wow. I haven't even looked at it from that perspective. The ACLU.
No, with all of this, from every cop shooting, from the shooting to arrest, there are lots of arrests that have been made out with these protesters.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen an ACLU attorney on TV from Fox, MSNBC. Well, I haven't.
I haven't either.
And that lets you know this is, you know, it's just they don't want to make a mistake and rush.
Yep, you.
It's something they stand clear of. They stand clear of this for some reason. Go ahead.
And I don't know the reason why. I haven't really looked into it. I just know that they've been silenced, they've been muted, and they're usually, this is like, you know, it's a smorgasbord to Al Sharpton when we see some type of chaos going on out in the streets. This is something that's a smorgasbord for.
Wait a minute, you don't even hear that much from Al Sharpton? You're not even hearing that much from Al Sharpton?
No, well, he held a rally a couple of weeks ago. He held some type of thing a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and,
I remember that.
For some reason, I ended up listening to our favorite guy, James David Manning, and he just laughed because it got to the point Al Sharpton was asking the crowd to keep quiet because they couldn't hear, and the crowd ignored him. The crowd ignored him, and then he kept saying, okay, y'all are too close. Spread out. Now, I personally thought that maybe Al Sharpton had a mic or something in his ear where the people were telling him, hey, remember the rules, remember this, and he would say, oh, okay, hey, everybody spread out, hey, I need everybody to be quiet, and they did, the crowd just did what they wanted to do. And we've never seen this like this before without Al Sharpton, never.
Well, I haven't heard either. Where's Jesse Jackson?
Jesse, again, silent.
I heard he wasn't doing too well.
He looked like he had a stroke or something.
He got the Parkinson?
It's somewhere in between that, but they had him on silence since Trump got in. All that money, Trump. I'm surprised Trump never called anybody out on this. Jesse, Al, I gave you money. I gave you money. I wasn't a racist to you when I wrote you out some checks. When you wanted to start Rainbow Push and you wanted to start the Action Network, all them checks I wrote you, you didn't tell me when we had dinner together that I was a racist. How many times did we have dinner together?
He mentioned it in an interview, but he didn't really call him out. He just said when I was a Democrat, a lot of those people that calling me racist stuff, we were real good friends, and now I see how they read out. He kind of just cut it off right there. He didn't point him out, but I knew pretty much who he was talking about.
And Spike Lee, all of these guys, I'm from New York. I know. I've seen it. Okay? Where they showed up at dinner. This man, 4 years in a row, you gave Trump the Rosa Parks Award for his outstanding work in the black community. How do you give a racist an outstanding award for their work in the black community?
There you go.
They got you on tape handing the award to him, and now you out there saying, he's a racist?
Who's saying that? Spike Lee?
This is Spike Lee, Al Sharpton,
yep,
Jesse Jackson. Okay, the only one that stayed true was 50 Cent, the rapper 50 Cent. Okay, he stayed true to the cause and said, well, nope, Trump's not a racist. He was at the dinners. Okay. So I know this for a fact. That's where I'm from, and it's like, okay, growing up, Trump only, and that's what shocked me. Growing up, Trump only dated black women. If they were white, they were foreign. I've never seen him with an American white woman. So when they first started talking about some racist guy, I'm trying to figure out who's this racist guy that's going to be running for president. You know, I had no idea they were talking about Trump, because it's like, him? No way. His dad, when he collected the rent, when he had to collect the rent, his dad also owned homes in the hood, buildings in the hood. Dad would make him go out at night to the black neighborhood to collect rent and tell him, you're no different than anybody else. So that's his bottom line. This thing here is new to me.
So Trump dated.
Pardon?
Oh, okay. I see Trump with a black girl here.
Carrying on. Yeah, but they call her
Byron.
She's really black, but I had one back when they first said he dated her. Oh, she's just Byron. I said, what would Barack think?
Trump dated Kara Young, a model, dated Trump for 2 years before he married another model named.
That's Atlanta. Not his first, and that's the thing. It's like David Manning, Pastor James David Manning, first called Barack Obama the long-legged Mac Daddy. I was like, no, Trump is the real Mac Daddy.
Trump was the
real pimp in this matter. If you want to talk about it, who was macking the good looking black women? No, David Manning got that wrong.
She's a good looking one too.
This man had a hotel. His hotels when he first got one of the hotels up, and he would go around once a month. He'd have a chauffeur take him to the bank.
His hotel.
Pardon? I'm sorry.
The media is not going to bring that out. Excuse me.
No. What happened was he would go to the bank. His restaurant, one of his first hotels, had a restaurant in the downstairs in New York City. He would go to the bank and come out of the bank with a stack of $100 bills. He would go to every employee from the manager to the janitor to the maids that cleaned the room to the chef, even the busboy and the guy that washed dishes. give everybody a crisp $100 bill and say thank you for working for me. Thank you for the work that you are doing for to help my business. That's racist?
No.
That I don't know what racism is. That's my problem right now. If that is a racist person, I just don't. Somebody's gonna have to school me on what is racism.
Like my boy said, is that racism? I like more Indians.
You just gave me something new to talk about tomorrow. And
he is the first.
On the show.
Trump is the first. I'm telling you, what I know for a fact. He is the first one, club owner, country club owner, to go down in Florida and insist. Everyone, not only will you have black people join the club, you're going to hire them, too, to work for you at these clubs.
I remember that.
Where this man, he is the first to go down there. He hired them at his club first, and then he protested on behalf of black people to start hiring us to go and work and become members of those clubs, those country golf clubs. So, again, of course, CNN, MSNBC, they won't talk about this, but my question is, where is the racism in that? Where?
I'm making a note of it.
Make a note of it. I can tell you a gazillion stories about this guy named Trump. Growing up when he was running for president, as a matter of fact, I didn't like him when he was running for president. You know? You're arrogant, macking all the nice-looking black women. Leave us with – let me stop. But anyway, he took a good one, okay? I hate to say this, okay? Left us with, you know, whatever we had. We had to deal with what he left us, okay? He was the original long-legged Mac Daddy, I'm trying to tell you.
Oh wow!
I'm just laying it out there, you know. I'm laying it out there, and so there's a reason why he had a one table setting: Muhammad Ali, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Spike Lee. What's his name? I call him Mr. Johnson from Johnson's. You know what I'm talking about? On Essence and Essence Magazine and Jet Magazine. Okay, they sat with him. When they walk in restaurants in New York City, you had to have some of them restaurants, you had to have maybe a month reservation in order to get in. People would stand there and wait for Donald Trump to show up. So they would actually tell the people at the door, I'm with him, thinking that that's going to get him a seat. They'd wait there. If he show up, okay, I'm with him. They'd walk in with Donald Trump. So these same people are the ones that's telling us, that racist, he's a racist, and I'm going, wait a minute, hold on. You know, as the saying goes, a lot of those people, but tell me the truth. I was there. You're wrong. I was there. I know.
Wow.
Sorry for the rant, but I get kind of ticked off and I get kind of, you know, not happy about this because I know where the lie is. You know, and was he arrogant? Yes. God told us this. It was prophesied. This man that's going to be here in 70 years, 75 years ago, it was prophesied. We got an arrogant businessman is what's going to be, is going to go for president. He only has to do one thing, recognize Israel as sovereign. If he does that, God says, I'm going to bless this country like it's never done before. Never been blessed before. And all he has to do is this one thing. He's going to be arrogant like J.Q. That was predicted or prophesied 75 years ago. And they said it's going to happen in a jubilee year. It happened. And look at the blessing we got. The highest. I mean, you haven't seen jobs come out like this before. You haven't seen a GDP growth. You haven't seen an economy that grew the way it grew. So this isn't something out of a fairy tale book. It was actually prophesied that this was going to happen.
Can you have your own business, though?
I do insurance, and on the side, I'm just getting back to renew my license, mortgages.
Okay, good.
Yep. And you think about that. You think about it. It is for us as a people to say, even with this virus, do you know you can hold your cell phone in your hand, and in 4 months, 5 months, you can get a certificate, whether it's nursing, welding, working on somebody's computer, just by holding your cell phone. We're on our cell phones every day. There's no excuse for anybody. The opportunities are out there. They're there, even through this virus.
Wow.
So even through this virus, God opened up a door for us. What are we? When you ask to protest, we see them protesting every day. What are you asking for? We see you out there every day, but I don't get it. What is it you're protesting about?
Oh, well, we want justice.
Where are they being unfair? We're tired of the police and shooting us. Okay, let's look at the last 10 people that got shot. What happened? Are the cops just coming out going bang, bang, or what's going on here?
Absolutely.
So we don't stop it. I'm sorry for ranting. I had to let it out.
Oh, you're good. I'm listening to the things that you're saying, and I'm making a note of some of the things that you're saying. Because I call into black shows, and I didn't know about two things you talked about the West Palm
Florida golf course. Yeah, he's the first to go down there on our behalf. Saturday morning, he wasn't Jewish. Saturday morning, Dad put a yarmulke on his head and said, "Go with me," and sit there in Brooklyn, okay, Crown Heights, Brooklyn, at the seminar asking, what do you guys need? Is everything okay? What's going on in the community? The man is, the dad was even smart. You own buildings in that community. As bad as Brooklyn was, you don't want that community to go up. Let our people, I hate to say it, our people tear it up, and you own, and you got rent. How are you going to rent out the people if the people are going to make it look sloppy or whatever? You better get involved in that community and make sure it's okay. Smart businessman. You know, and he didn't let that place go like a ghetto. He made his son get out there, look around. You see a fence torn up. We played baseball, basketball. I was just as bad as the other kids, pulling on swings, hanging on the basketball rim, hanging on them and bending them down. Okay, yeah, we saw that place up. But his dad was smart enough to say, hey, wait a minute. If I got buildings out here, I don't want my value going down. And this is what we don't, I'm just giving out pure facts and say, hey, put racism behind it and say, this is a man that has to take care of business. And he was smart enough to know, you may be black, I may be white, but my money is green. My money is green. And so Negroes, we get to the point where we forgot, we put black before green. And as Reverend Ike used to say, who had a church out in New York as well, remember Reverend Ike? He used to say, hey, black power never did anything for me. Green power did it.
Reverend Ike used to say he can't lose with the stuff he used.
You can't lose with the stuff I use, and that's what my pastor say. Yeah, well, you can't win with the racket he's in.
Can't win with the racket that he's in.
That's it. But, you know, he made a lot of great points, and he even said himself, the black church has taught us one thing, from slavery to the South and coming up north. They taught us to die. They taught us to believe in white, and black is down here. They didn't tell us that God made us equal. That it's we want that we're all conquerors in Christ. If we're all conquerors in Christ, how do you on Sunday morning sing or say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, and then all of a sudden Monday morning, the white man
Monday
put
morning.
Foot on my neck.
On
Monday morning. You went from victorious to victim. Every week we do this. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up.
All things work together for the good to those who love the Lord. But the sky, you're like Dora, the sky's always falling.
Exactly. So now you got a president that put you in a situation, put the country in a situation where everybody can win. Everybody. and when?
Working for your good.
Yes, there you
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Man,
can
but,
win,
but I can't wait for these debates to come. I'm anxious. It's at the end of the month. I got lots of work to do. Because I definitely.
No,
oh,
get,
yeah.
Black conservative, don't get your hopes up too high now. Because if it's coming up at the end of the month, that means we got, what, about 3 weeks for another quote unquote major crisis to hit and go cancel it now. Watch
yep. It's not.
Watch what
oh,
I think.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Not, you're absolutely. You know what? Happen. You are right 100%. You're right 100%.
They want to lead you like, okay, we gonna do it, but when this crisis hit, this gonna be the last one. Where I ain't gonna say it's gonna be the last one.
You
but
ain't never lied.
The face out the way, because they cannot afford Joe Biden on that stage going against this man head first. They can't. They can't risk.
Yeah, no.
Because y'all know Hillary had an implant in her ear. I don't care what nobody said. Hillary knew what was going on. And she still
yeah.
lost
yep.
some debate.
That's why they hate Donna Brazile. You know, I had her on the show one time, brother. Okay?
No.
I didn't have her on the show.
One.
Man, I had Donna on the show for a whole hour. A whole slick self.
She's a slick one. I gotta say, I have to love her. I love her moves. She's slick.
She's so easy. She's just so easy going. But I call her again.
Wow.
And she came right on the show. I want to get Dr. Mandy. How is Dr. Mandy doing?
Who?
James Manning. Dr. James
Manning. Dr. Manning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they tried to take the city, I think it's because of his rent or whatever. They were trying to get the property from him. And somehow he made it. I don't know if somebody made a donation or whatever, because he lives in the building where the church is. He stays there. He says, I'm not like everybody else and moved out. I'm still here. And he had a big thing with the homosexual community. They went after him. Of course, he had the black community after him. But somehow his school, he has a school that's going strong.
Okay, okay.
But it'll be great to get him on and get an update.
I wanted to get him on the show and kind of see. I didn't know whether he was really pro Trump or not. I know he has an issue with the president.
The last I checked, he goes from Trump to not liking Trump to liking Trump. The nickname he gave Trump was Tribulation Trump. Was the nickname he gave him. So it's just one day it's this, one day it's that, and it's like, okay, well, what is Trump today?
And you know, and with me, he don't have to agree with him 100%. You know, nobody agrees 100%.
No.
At least 80% of the time.
right. But it's just, you got it these days, and it's not about the biting, but in these days, you're just going to have to make up your mind, which way do you want to go? Either way, you've got to get involved. You can't stay quiet, you know. Well, they put our Constitution on the line. You know, they look at how they're slowly but surely taking away. I don't know about out there. We don't have a turnpike anymore. The turnpike is there, but you're not paying any tolls. They just take a picture of your license and bill you. They don't want anybody dealing with other people. They want us away from people, away from each other. We go to the supermarket, Walmart, you're going to pay your own thing. You're going to ring yourself up. Okay? All these programs
separate. So let me ask a question here with the debates coming up. So how y'all think the president will fare in the debates? Who do you think will hit? How many points you think Joe going to score? How many points you think Trump going to score?
Oh, if we were counting up to 10, Joe might get 2 or 3. He'll get 2.
What
so we don't do a mercy kill, he might score 3 and Trump will get 7. If it was like one, if based on 1 to 10.
What do you think? Okay, so what do you think he can hit Trump on? Get a 6.
That'll fit.
Because if we try to hit Trump on the coast, that'll stick. Because if he try to hit Trump on
the coast. They've been doing this since election.
Yeah, right.
Ain't nothing stuck.
No, he'll. Because we are so weak as a people, okay? And again, I hate saying about my people, but it's going to be so easy for Joe to stand up and say, look at our economy. Look at what this virus did. You didn't show up. You didn't react. Okay? And if Trump pulls the card of, wait a minute, we knew about this virus when Obama was in office. The only thing Obama said was something's coming. He didn't tell us what. Trump might not get into that. He might decide, let me leave that alone. You know, he's the president, so we forget. What do they say in golf? What is it called? A Murphy? Or are you giving me a what do they give you? A mulligan?
A mulligan.
Uh huh. Trump gets a mulligan. So now Trump gets a mulligan on this. He's the president.
Yeah. Because the CDC, first of all, the CDC didn't learn. The CDC, first of all, China, supposedly, China didn't name or know what the virus, what was causing the viral phenomena that happened to spread the name of it until January the 9th.
Nope.
And they informed the CDC of it on the 13th that the known virus that is happening, unknown virus, is the coronavirus. So how would President Trump know before the CDC or the World Health Organization? I'm sorry, the World Health Organization on December 31st. The World Health Organization on December 31st. Picked up by the phenomenon virus that was spreading in Wuhan, China, at the China website.
Mm-hmm.
And then they inquired about it.
Well, they what?
The World Health Organization downplayed it at first.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Well, they did that when the people. Remember when the people were on the ship? I don't know if they were Asians or what on that cruise ship that floated around for months because everybody was sick. They tried to downplay it then. Yeah, they were downplaying it then. And I said, okay.
But they in China probably anyway. Whatever China said, that's what they're gonna go with. But as a president.
How many times when Trump was running for president, how many times did Donald Trump say the word China? Everybody used to laugh at the way he said it, but he kept saying China, China. He put enough of that word into our brains where subliminally we've heard this name many times where we should have known something is happening. Something is happening.
Well, think about it. And I want y'all to think real hard. Remember when they were going back and forth with those trade talks and China was really fighting off and they finally gave in?
Yep.
Go back
they
and
put
look
up a good
how
fight.
Long from the time they gave in to this virus actually hit. It wasn't that long. So it's like, okay, we're going to give in, but we're going to do something to destroy that economy of yours. Because if we give in, if we don't have nothing to fight with, we might be looking like we done lost everything because we will.
And we sat back.
It was not an equal playing field. I remember this. I saw this on the internet. They were doing a research on how much the cars, like merchandise being made in America, shipped to China versus they shipping stuff over here. A Chrysler 300 brand new over here was like, fully loaded was just under $45,000 or $48,000. Fully loaded.
Wow.
In China, $70,000. Because once they get over there, they gonna tax the hell out of it. They was taxing top of taxing American products, so they defer you from buying it. You gonna keep buying this stuff. Yeah, we'll bring your stuff over here just to keep you happy, but we gonna tax the crap out of it so people can't afford it. And they've been doing that for decades to America. And Democrats have just basically let China build itself over and over and over. So you get a president overtime 3-4 years, you got accustomed to. Now they finna come in and put all that overtime out. Now you got to figure out how you're going to pay all these bills you're going to make.
Your whole lifestyle has changed based on that overtime?
Yep. Exactly.
And that's
all right, hey, guys. Okay, this is what I was trying to, and I deal with this tomorrow. The timeline of this coronavirus. If someone tell you, well, Trump didn't do anything about it, you know, all you got to do is hit them with the timeline. Because on December 31st, that's when the. Let me read out. I got it here on the. The WHO website. The Wuhan Health Commission of China, on December 31st, China reported a cluster of cases of phenomena in Wuhan, a Norris coronavirus eventually identified. Okay? So on January 31st, they didn't know what it was. On January the 1st, the WHO had set up the incident management support team across three levels of the organization: headquarters, regional headquarters, country level, putting the organization on an emergency footing for dealing with the outbreak. That's on January the 1st. January the 4th, the WHO reported on social media that there was a cluster of phenomenal cases with no death in the one. On January the 5th, the World Health Organization published their first disease outbreak news on the new virus. Okay? This is the flagship techno publication to the scientific and public health communities as well as global media. It contains a risk assessment and advice and report on what China has told the organization about the status of patients and the public health response on the cluster of phenomena cases. January the 10th, the WHO issued a comprehensive package of technical guidance online with advice to all countries on how to detect, test, and manage potential cases based on what was known about the virus at the time. This on January the 10th. This guidance was shared with the WHO Regional Emergency Director, so forth. Okay, so on January the 12th, China publicly shared the genetic sequence of COVID-19. January 13th, officials confirmed a case in Taiwan. That's the first case outside of China. January 14th, the World Health Organization technical lead led for the response in a briefing. In the briefing, there may have been limited human-to-human transmission of the virus in 41 cases, namely through family members, and there was a risk of a possible wider outbreak. The lead also said that human-to-human transmission would not be surprising given over experience with SARS, whatever that is. MERS. Anyway, on January 20th, the World Health Organization experts from its China and Western Pacific regional office conducted a brief field visit to Wuhan. Yeah. Okay, so on January 22nd, somebody needs to mute their mic. On January 22nd, the World Health Organization mission to China issued a statement saying there were evidence of human-to-human transmission in Wuhan, but no more investigation was needed to understand the full extent of the transmission. It's the January 22nd. No more investigation was needed, so they ran the U.S. out. January 22nd to 23rd, World Health Organization Director General convened an emergency committee under the International Health Regulation, except for the outbreak constituted a public emergency of a national concern. The independent members around the world could not reach a consensus based on the evidence available at the time. They asked to be reconvened within 10 days after receiving more information. That's on January the 22nd, 23rd. All right, 5 days later, senior WHO delegate led by the director general traveled to Beijing to meet China leader, learn more about the China response, and to offer any technical assistance. While in Beijing, he agreed with China government leaders that an international team of leading scientists would travel to China on a mission to better understand the context and the overall response and exchange information and experience. January 3rd, the World Health Organization director reconvened. This was earlier than 10 days. Only 2 days after the first report, a limited human-to-human transmission was reported outside of China. This time, the EC reached consensus and advised the general director that the outbreak constituted a public health emergency. This is the sixth time WHO had declared a PHE an emergency, a public health emergency, international concerns.
You said that was the sixth time? Did you say that was the sixth time?
The sixth time the World Health Organization had declared a public health emergency.
There you go. Okay.
Since the international health regulation came into force in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
The World Health Organization report from January 30 reported 7,800 total confirmed cases worldwide, and the majority of these in China. 82 cases reported in 18 countries outside China. They gave a risk assessment of the very high for China and high at the global level. February 3rd.
There you go.
They released the international community's strategic preparedness with weaker health systems. February 11th, ain't got to the president yet. First of all, ain't got to the president yet.
Yep.
February 11th, the 12th, they convened. World Health Organization convened a research innovation forum on COVID-19 attended by more than 400 experts. Maybe they need to. These experts need to appear on CNN. Founders from around the world, which include presentations by da 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 da. February 16, 24, haven't got to the president yet. World Health Organization, China joint mission which includes experts from Canada, Germany, Japan, Nigeria, Republic of Korea, Russia, Singapore, and the U.S. spent time in Beijing. Also traveled to Wuhan, two other cities. But we have officials signed the workers in the health field, health workers in the health facility. Maintain the physical distance. Oh, right. But March 11th. Oh, by time. People concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming of levels of inaction. They made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic. March 13, COVID-19 solitary response lunch received donations from private individual corporations. I don't know where that was from. Just research. Still ain't got to the president yet. March 18. WHO and partners launched the Solitary Trial International Clinic Trial that aimed to generate robust data from around the world to find the most effective treatment for COVID-19. Wow. You can't make this stuff up. I kid you not. My point is, the president was the last somebody to know, but China haven't quite figured out what it was until January the 9th. Then they finally named it to be, they finally named it, identified it to be the coronavirus on January the 9th. I cut the president know in December when the WHO, the experts, they didn't know what it was themselves until late January.
They knew that it was a virus. They didn't know how it would be called out. Yeah, they knew. Before Obama left office, Obama said, and everybody was like, oh, he's a good president because he told us it was coming. The lady, they called her Dr. Bat Virus. Her name is Dr. Shri. I think it's S-H-R-I. I don't know if she's Japanese, Korean, Asian, or what, but she's known as the Bat Virus Doctor. And she called the name Corona. Back in 2014, Barack Obama had stated he stopped anybody that was donating money to labs in America. And we're thinking, hey, wait a minute, go ahead, Mr. President. Something's going on, and maybe you're trying to help America. But we find out, why did he stop the funding? Okay, why didn't he allow Americans to fund money to labs in America? Why? Because we found out then that he knew about the coronavirus. He sent $3.7 million. When they say Mr. Trump, they forgot. Mr. Trump stopped the funding. He understood, I don't know what all's going on. Let's stop it. He stopped the funding when he got into office. We forget that. Okay?
Why it magically got out.
When they tried to make it seem like this doctor, and again, your boy Bill Gates comes into play here, this Dr. Shri, they narrowed it down to say that she was studying animals. Okay, that's what the money was for the study of animals. No, she studied a bat. She studied the coronavirus. I won't even, because it'll take a whole show for me to prove this to you, but we're going to connect it to the 5G network. And then we're going to connect it to the people that went to Italy. I've got all this down, by the way. And we'll show you the connection. The thing about it is, the president was smart and say, before I do anything, let's cut the head of the snake off first. I'm stopping funding. And he stopped that program. They're like, well, how dare you, Mr. How dare you, Trump, stop a program that's testing animals? No, they weren't testing animals. They were testing the coronavirus on the bat. The name of the doctor, Dr. Shri, her nickname was Dr. Corona, Dr. Bat Virus. That was her nickname in 2014.
Well, Brother K, you heard anything else about those scientists that they detained that were going to Harvard,
I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard it. Where did they go? This thing didn't just pop up and everybody got sick and we blame Trump. This was talked about before Trump got into office. And he was smart enough to say, I'm stopping funding. Let's stop it right there. You got Fauci. You got Bill Gates' name on it. You take Bill Gates. What was his goal, him and Bernie Sanders? I want population control. Population control means someone's going to die. Okay? So population control, that was Bill Gates' claim to fame. We had Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood. Again, we got to get rid of these black people, burn them down like weeds, exterminate them. Well, who funded Margaret Sanger? Do you know who gave her her first check? Bill Gates' dad gave her her first check. Bill Gates didn't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I want population control. Somebody told him that. Do you think it was his dad? Think that could be? And so when him and Bernie hopped on this population control, who was doing the most population control back then? Planned Parenthood. Over 16 million black babies have been aborted through this program since 1973. So you got a man whose dad funded this. He now wants it. He's involved with this corona thing. All of a sudden, him and Dr. Fauci, the two people that love population control, they're going to come up at the end of the year with a vaccine. You're going to take the vaccine of a person that wants to kill people? Doesn't make sense to me at all.
But it's amazing how mainstream media keep telling you, listen to the scientists, listen to them.
Listen,
but then
of course
you turn around
you.
And they put Bill Gates on them. They get us, they frame Bill Gates. He's not a scientist.
No, or
a doctor. They put him up there. Exactly.
This is why they call it television. What is it doing? It's television. telling you a vision. You're going to take this vaccine out of nowhere when this, I forgot the black doctor's name that has been treating doctors, not just patients. None of her patients died. The black doctor from Africa.
That's the woman down in Houston. Yeah. She's from Africa.
None of her patients. She got doctors that are her patients. Not just regular people on the street. Doctors are her patients. She didn't lose one. All of a sudden, Bill Gates, who went from we got it ready at the end of the year to they picked about 300 people. We don't know who these people are. Where they rushed last month to test the vaccine on. They got to get it out because people are waking up and saying, all I have to do is stay home, wash my hands, take some zinc, chloroflinolamine, whatever that word is, and eat grandma's chicken noodle soup. I'll be okay. It'll take care of the virus. I don't need the vaccine. And to blame Trump. Pardon?
Say that again.
We're throwing down some knowledge, black conservative. We're putting the knowledge out.
I see. The chicken soup part. That's what I'm talking about.
Pardon?
You said take the zinc and what, the hypochlorophane? Whatever they call it.
Uh-huh. You do that. You stay home. Wash it. They're telling us to do things that grandma taught us anyway. Chicken noodle soup. You boil a chicken breast with the skin. You take that juice. You drink along with orange juice. Take an aspirin. Take a Tylenol every day. Okay? Wash your hands. The dirt, when you use that stuff, that cleanser stuff, you're taking out some of the good bacteria that you need. Regular dishwashing liquid, wash your hands with that. You're fine at home. When you play in dirt, it puts that natural bacteria you need. They're telling people, go out and play in the dirt. Then come in and wash your hands. You got a fever? Again, take that, boil a chicken breast with the skin, legs, thighs, everything. Boil it. You take that chicken juice along with the bouillon cube. If you have cramps, you burn. That's something Vic Gregory taught us. Burn a piece of bread. Burn the toast. Just burn it. You eat that. The charcoal will scrape your stomach. This has been a proven thing for years in the South. We've had this cure before it wasn't even a disease. We've always had this cure. And in 10 days, whatever it is, it's out of your system. It's been a proven fact already. So now they found this out. They want to rush this thing now, this little vaccine. I'm not taking something from somebody that was designing something to kill me in the first place.
Don't be interested.
Pardon?
I said, don't be interested, man.
It's just... I got to put it out there. I have to put it out there. I'm not. We had this thing with Barack Obama where we said, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Okay? Mm-hmm. They knew we ain't drinking the Kool-Aid, so now they want to give us something else.
Wow. Well, we're going to call tonight. I think we have covered a whole lot. More than in a liver surgery. But, Matt, we'll be back tomorrow night. I'm going to look up some stuff that, I mean, you guys, man, y'all guys are awesome. Y'all got a memory bank.
What's your brother's name again we just talked to? I forgot his name already.
Terry.
Terry?
Uh-huh.
And
Terry just in low gear.
He is a book of information. I love that guy.
Terry just in low gear. He ain't got cranked up yet.
Okay. He, you know what? He had that engine turning. I love it. This is what I live for.
Oh, wow,
man.
This has been a good night. I have enjoyed listening to you guys and learning some things.